Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many Christians we've gotten here? Let me see the hand of the Christian. Amen. Amen. I got good news for you. And I'm going to try to prove it through the scriptures, what the Bible says about when a saint go home to be with the Lord. The Bible says that Christians never die. And I'm going to prove that through the scriptures. Gwen is not dead. And I'm going to prove it through the scriptures. Let us go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this day. Lord, because you bless us to see this day, Lord, that a saint departing to be with you forever, Lord. We thank you for the years you've given her upon this earth to share with her family, Lord, her siblings and her children and grandchildren, nieces, nephews. Lord, all those that make up this family, Lord, she imparted something to them in some special way. Lord, and we acknowledge that today in our prayer, that you would bless those family members, Lord, that are seated here. Open their hearts that they can hear exactly what you want to say to them at this hour. Let them know, Lord, this can be a wonderful beginning for them. Let them know, Lord, that every Christian, I believe, carries a mantle from you when they walk with you for a protracted period of time. And Lord, let that mantle fall upon his family, that they can catch a hold of the love that she walked with, and the joy that she had, the direction she gave to them when they were misdirected. Father, I want to thank you. I don't know her personally, but I knew her in the spirit, Lord. I knew her in the spirit. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, let all who agree with that prayer say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's an honor for me to stand here today. Apostle Thompson had a chance to pastor Sister Gwen for a few short months. But I like what Monty, because she said something that spoke my heart, and it worth repeating. She said when Gwen will leave out here, there was such life that was within her. And she noticed a difference about her. You know, because sometimes people come to a house of God and they leave the same way. You never should leave the house of God the same way you came. If your heart is open, there's something God going to say to you through the man of God that's going to produce life in you. But your heart got to be open. Your ears got to be open. Jesus said, let them that have ears hear. Now, everybody had ears, but everybody don't hear. And there's a spiritual hearing. There's a hearing on when that you connect heaven to earth. So I want to say this before I begin, that Apostle Thompson had a chance to pastor her for a few short months. But I want to thank you, and he want to thank you for the respect that you gave him in bringing Sis Gwen to her home church. We call this our home church. And he appreciate that because it let her know how much respect she had for him and how much family that you respected her and brought her here to be funeralized. We thank you for that. And may God bless you for that. You know, when you honor a man of God, God blesses you for that. And surely our Apostle Thompson is a man of God. He speaks the word with truth. He speaks the word with power. And he speaks the word with accuracy. And that's what I love about him. But I'm going to give you a word today. If you open your hearts, I think the Lord is going to say something that's going to assist you in your journey when you leave here. You know, life goes on. Life does go on. You know that, huh? Life doesn't stop here. I'm talking about life after Sis Thornton. I'm talking about the life that she had within her. It goes on. Now, you're going to catch it in a little while. I'm gonna explain to you through the scripture what I mean it goes on. I mean, Gwen doesn't stop. Her life didn't stop. And Christians have to understand that. Your life doesn't stop after death. It changes direction. It takes a new avenue. In other words, it goes up a little higher. I heard Reverend Nelson say, absent from the body, use the scripture in 2 Corinthians. is present with the Lord, well, that's life after this life. No, you know that I didn't say life after death. But that's life after this life. And I'm going to prove it through the scripture. You say, well, go ahead and prove it then. All right, you just listen. Amen. You listen, I'll prove it. So my point is, Christian never die. And for you to understand that, you got to understand who or what makes up a Christian. God created us in his own image, after his likeness, the Bible says, Genesis 1, 26. So what is God's likeness? Well, to understand that, you got to go to John 4 and 24. The Bible says, God is a spirit. So we know that what God's likeness is. So man was created in God's likeness, and God is a spirit. So God created us after his own being. God created us as spirit beings. Yeah, you got a body, but you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live within the body. So I don't see the real you. We never saw the real Gwen. We saw the house. So I look at the program. I see a picture of Gwen, but that's the house. That's the house Gwen lived in. Yeah, we all got a house. And that house is the house, God's precious commodity. Now, what's that precious commodity? Your spirit that he created in his likeness. That's the real you. That's the part of you that go home to be with the Lord when you're born again. Now, notice I had those. The last few words, when you are born again. So, you got to qualify for this life, right? Now, Jesus was talking about, I'm not going to be long either, but Jesus was talking about in the 27th chapter of Matthew, you know, they try to cross up Jesus. You ever seen somebody cross up Jesus and succeed? Nobody was able to ever cross up Jesus because he spoke with such wisdom and such power. He spoke through the Holy Ghost, and nobody could cross him up. Well, nobody should be able to cross you up. But yet we let people cross us up. We let people tell us what church to go to, what to wear, what car to drive, what neighborhood to live in. No. But he couldn't cross Jesus up. They sent some of the best Sadducees to him. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And he came up with this story about this man with seven sons. And he said, the first son married this woman, and the woman, he didn't give seed to the woman, didn't give child to the woman, but the law says that the next brother marries the wife. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody read the Bible here? Yeah, so you can be a witness unto me. He says, so they went through all the sons and nobody left seed for the sons. And then they asked Jesus this question, trying to trip him up. He said, well, in the resurrection, they were saying, well, if there is a resurrection, that's what they're really saying. If there really a resurrection, who's husband is he? Who's the right husband? Jesus looked out upon him, and Jesus said, in the resurrection, there's no marriage, neither given in marriage, but you're like the angels of God. In other words, you are transformed to another state where there's a higher life. See, marriage is for earth folks. Jesus said, go forth and replenish the earth. That was married for. Married for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to replenish the earth. That you can replenish the earth, that God can create, increase his family. He told Abraham that all the family of the world be blessed. God want all families eventually to be his family, to come to Christ. That's why the Bible says train up a child the way he should go. So when that child get old, that child going to turn to the Lord. You want to raise your children where they turn to the Lord. So your labor won't be in vain. So as they grow up, they'll grow up in the Lord. But anyway, back to what we were saying in Matthew 22. He said they're like the angels of God. God called you up to a higher life. To a higher life. All right? I got some notes here. I'm trying to stick with my notes so I don't get off too far. Now look what else he said. But I need to prove this, though. This is what I say. One day, this earthly body that we have is going to dissolve. You know what it means, dissolve? See, if you don't read the Bible with understanding and the Holy Ghost to help you, that word dissolve is kind of a little blind. We talk one day this body going to die. This body going to have to give up the ghost. This body going to have to go back to the dirt. This body going to have to go back to what it was created out of. You know we're dirt? We all have the same blood. There's no black, no white, no. Everybody the same in God's sight. We all bleed the same blood. But he said this body is going to go back to the dirt. Over in 2 Corinthians, I want to turn that right quick. 2 Corinthians. Five and one. Look what he says here. Apostle Paul. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. See, God knew it was going to be dissolved one day. We have a building of God and house not made with hands. Look how long it's supposed to last. Eternal in the heaven. So he said, this house will dissolve. You know, some people live like they're not going to ever die. You know why I say that? Because they don't put God first. If you know you're going to die one day, God needs to be first. Why is God not first in your life? Somebody said, well, God first in mine. Well, I'm talking to one God ain't first in. But God's supposed to be first in everything you do. So now we come to understanding that this body will dissolve. And God knows it, that his body is not going to last forever. But God made preparation for us. He gave us another body that's waiting upon us. And we're supposed to take care of this body. Because this body, the Bible says, is a temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. But God knows this body, this earth body, won't last so long. And then he says in Corinthians, so, but why are you here? I want to glorify God in your body. He said, and in your spirit. So that we're told to do with our body upon the earth. But one day this body is going to dissolve. One day this body got to go back to the dust. But what happened to the real person that was in that body? You see it? Let me back up, and then I'm going to show you what happened to that body. You're still in? No, I'm still in, not you. St. John, the 11th chapter, Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus had died. Anybody know that story? Yeah, that's a good funeral scripture. But I want to show you something here. Mary and, oh, y'all listen to me. All right. I just want to make sure you're listening. Because the Holy Ghost is going to say something that's going to help you. Mary and Martha's brother had died. And Jesus was away. And what happened was, Jesus tarried on purpose. Okay? And then he told the disciples, he said, we got to go see Lazarus. I got to go wake him up. You see, he knowing that Lazarus was dead, but he didn't call Lazarus being dead. Jesus know God's secrets. Jesus know heaven information. He knows stuff from God's point of view, from God's viewpoint. So he talked like God. He said, I got to go wake him up. And one of the disciples, they were so slow to understanding. They said, well, if he's sleeping, he'd do it well. Why wake a man up when he's sleeping? Don't make sense. Jesus had to speak. He said, Lazarus is dead. He had to speak plain to him. But he wouldn't call it dead. Jesus called it asleep. We don't call Gwen dead. We call Gwen asleep. Because they have to get up morning. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. You see, God's coming to get this body back. I don't care where it is, how it's put together. God knows how to put stuff back together. God is supernatural. He can form it from the dust. He can put it back together. Some people wondering, you know, God is in control of everything. God can do whatever he needs to do. God's not limited by our understanding, our wisdom, our knowledge. God's greater than us. Sometimes people try to think for God. But God already knows your thoughts. Now, let me look at this now. But when Martha came, she ran up to Jesus. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, that didn't make no difference to Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. That's all I can say. Wonderful Jesus. Powerful Jesus. Glorious Jesus. Magnificent Jesus. Holy Jesus. I like the way he talked. She said, but I know now whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to thee. Even if he dead, Jesus, if you ask God, God's gonna answer you. Because every time I've seen you multiply bread. You lift up two loaves and five fishes, or five loaves and two fishes. I never could get that straight. But you lift up to heaven, and the Lord blessed it. He fed 5,000. And he turned water at a wedding into wine. He healed a woman that had been sick for 12 long years, plagued with a disease. The woman touched the hem of his garment, said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And so they knew about Jesus and his power and his ability. They had this woman going to the graveyard with her son. It was the only son. He stopped the funeral train. And he touched the boy, and the boy got up and went back home with his mama. So I know you, Jesus. Whatever you ask of God, that he'll do it for you. So Martha believed in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. The Bible says he's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He the same. God ain't changed. So whether we ask of him, the Bible says, 1 John 5:14-15, according to his will, he hearing us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have to petition. See, God answers prayer. Now watch here. Watch here. But Jesus is going to say something here. You know I'm almost through. Jesus is going to say something here. He said, thy brother shall rise again. Y'all see that? No, it's not on the screen. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, see, this word resurrection is so broad that sometimes you lose sight of what the resurrection is. You see? So the resurrection, I mean, so mighty and so powerful. You know? She said, I know he should rise in the resurrection at the last day. The resurrection, they believe that in the resurrection, that's the life after death. That was the resurrection, the life after death. So she believed in that. But why the next verse? Jesus is going to make an astonishing statement here. Jesus said unto her, first two words get you excited. First two words say, I am. Those two words, my goodness, those two words is who God is. He said, Moses said, Lord, who am I going to tell that sent me? He said, tell him I am sent me. I am that I am. You know why God is I am? Because he is anything you need him to be. Tell him I am sent you. Now, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, you have to worry about him being resurrected because you're talking to the resurrector. I'm the one that causes the dead to come to life. You know why? Because I am the life. Jesus is the life. He read the 14th chapter of John, 6th verse said, Jesus said, I'm the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. We get life because we in him and he in us. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, his life come into us. His life. His nature. And his ability come in us. That eternal life come to us. This life that never ends. This life that goes on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever and ever. See, we never, in this earthly understanding, we never fathom what eternity is. You know, we're going to be with them in eternity. See, Gwen just passed from life to eternity. She passed from life to eternity. Now, somebody told me a story years ago, I never forgot it. He said, this is an example of eternity. He said, if someone to say, a pelican, which is the slowest flying bird, that's what we believe, was to take 1 grain of sand at a time in his beak and fly it all the way to the sun, which is 93, I don't remember all that, but you know. 1 grain at a time till you empty all the sand out of every desert, every seashore, and everywhere there's sand, 1 grain at a time to the sun and back. He said, when you've done all that, you just enter 1 day into eternity. I said, that helped my understanding. Then my understanding said, I can't figure it out. Eternity is a long time. My mom used to witness to us when we was little. Thank God for old mothers and grandmothers that talked to you about Jesus. She said, son, you don't want to go to hell. I was a little bit of a boy. Say, because hell is too hot. And to say eternity is too long. I had no idea what eternity is, but I'm glad I'm not going to hell. God don't want nobody to perish. In this life only, we have hope, the scripture says. We are of all men most miserable. Don't put all your hope in this life. You just listen to the news. You can't go anywhere without having some tragic thing trying to happen. In these last days, people need to know Jesus. He's your protection. He's life after death. He's your hope. He's your hope. I'm almost through. I say that once, though. 25th verse said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. And look at the next part. And the life. You see that? And the life. I'm the life they call the resurrection. When I died on that cross, I gave my life that you might have life. John 10:10, the B part of verse said, the A part said, the thief cometh but to do 3 things, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. But Jesus said, I came into this world through this virgin birth that you might have life, that's the Zoe life. Zoe life is the God kind of life. That you might have life and have it how much? More abundantly. Know what that more abundant life is? That's eternal. Eternal life. See, eternal life has no time. You enter to an unlimited time. God don't, there's no clocks in heaven. You don't grow old in heaven. Man, if we get a glimpse of heaven, we won't go tomorrow, but you know, not me. But if you only get a glimpse, oh, that's why we were created to be with the Creator. And all we're to be with the Creator is when we leave out of this life. Then we get into the presence of God. That's the real life, the true life. That's the true life. In the presence of God, going and enter the true life, the real life. See, we get so stuck when we think we got the earth thinking. Everything is scientific. Everything is computerized now. We got more faith in the computer than the Word of God sometimes. But God never changed. The true life is the eternal life with Christ. How, if I were you, I wouldn't miss out on that. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sin. Jesus actually come into my heart. Make a new creature out of me. Let old things be passed away. And let all things become new. That's the sinner's prayer. You pray that simple prayer. And Jesus comes into your heart. He do a recreative work in you. He forgive you for all those old sins. And put a new life. He put his life on the inside of you. And you're not the same no more. I'm so glad I did that years ago. When you're truly born again, you don't want sin. The man, I talked to a man one day, and I'm almost through. Somebody said, when are you going to get through? I'm almost through. You got to give Gwen her time, her family. Amen. Now, I talked to this man, and this man had a drinking problem. And I was telling him about Jesus. Sometimes people think you got to get right before they get to Jesus. No, Jesus will make you right. That's just like going to a doctor and say, doctor, I'm coming back when I get well. No, that's asinine. It's crazy. But this man here, he had a drinking problem. He said, I'm going to come to church when I stop this drinking. I said, oh, man, I said, that's what the church is for, to help you. He said, he won't clean up first, you know. I said, look, man, you come to Christ, you can drink all you want to. Boy, he looked at me all crazy and strange. But what I was telling him, when you come to Christ, you ain't going to want to drink no more. Something happened on the inside of you. You don't want to be the same no more. I don't want to talk that old talk I used to talk no more. I don't want to go to more places I used to go no more. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away. All things became new. You know what new means? God was saying a new creation, a new life, a new species. You see, and people know the difference. Say, what happened to you? Man, I found Jesus. Jesus, my Lord. Yeah, new beginning. Jesus, my Lord. I'm not the same no more. Man, I used to cuss. Man, what? Every other word. But when I got born again, the Holy Ghost on the inside of me gave me a new vocabulary. And I couldn't talk that way no more. Matter of fact, I had to wipe myself because I got what they call, you know, people got the super holy. You know, you start running people away. You say, oh, you holier than thou now? I had to catch myself because I thought I was more spiritual than anybody else. But I didn't want to run nobody away, so I had to keep it to myself a little bit. But I said I wasn't going to tell nobody more, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I tell everybody I saw about Jesus. Anybody ever been there? Maybe you never got converted like I got converted. But everybody I saw after I got born again, I wanted to tell them about this new life in Christ. I wanted to tell them about Jesus and what he did for me. Maybe Jesus never did nothing for you. He saved my whole family. You're looking at a man with his whole family saved. Soon my grandchildren get two or three. They say, Papa, I want Jesus. I say, that's what I'm talking about. You know why? Because if you live before them, they don't need the Bible preached to them every day. They'll see the life of Christ in you. They don't live by doing do's and don'ts. They live by, people live by example more than what you say. I'm telling the whole truth of what? People live by example. They respect you from the life you live. You don't demand respect. You earn it by living before people. I remember Rosie Grill years ago. I saw him in Oklahoma, and he had a song he sang. He said, "You're the only Jesus that the world will ever see." My question is, can people see Jesus in the way you walk? Selah. Psalm talked about Selah. You know what that means? Pause and think about that. Can people see Jesus in the way you talk? Can people see Jesus in the places you go? I mean, it's doing a little inquiry now. I'm not trying to judge nobody, but this is for the soul. This is for to think about. To think about. Let me close with this scripture here. The next scripture says, 26. I didn't get four in my notes. The next scripture said, and the one I really want to hit, the 21st, Jesus got a word. Jesus said, "And whosoever liveth, that their life." You're talking about the life. You can't live without the life. See, when people make the mistake, they try to live without the life. That's why they run into all kind of problems. Alcohol problem, drug problem. Women problem. They try to live without the life. You can't live without the life. Jesus said, "Who that believed in me?" Jesus said, "Though he, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me," hear that word he says, "shall never die." And I just want to find the word "never." And then I'm going to close. Here's what "never" mean. At no time in the past, that's never. At no time in the future, on no occasion, not ever. He that believe in me shall never die. See, that's not my word. Don't worry, written in red. The master said that. So I ain't just say, I didn't come here saying that Gwen ain't dead. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Gwen didn't die. Gwen just changed her address. She just changed her location. She just decided that it was time for me to go to the Father now. I think I make my mind up, and I had enough of this world. I'm going home to Jesus. I want to see the man that saved me. I want to see the man that hung on that cross for me. I want to see the man that bled on that cross. I want to look at the nail prints in his hand. Oh, I want to see Jesus. But nobody won't die. No, it's only right to not want to die. But when that day comes, I be Christian. You just fold the leg up in the bed like the old patriots of old, call their family together and say, "I lived a good life. And I think it's time for me to go home with the Father and bless all my children and my grandchildren. And I want y'all to be blessed. I want to pass this mantle on to y'all. And I want you to keep your hands in God's hand. And I want you to walk like you know to walk. Do what I taught you." That's God's kind of life. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this listening family, Lord, that sat under the sound of my voice and heard the words, Lord, that I spoke. It was meant to encourage them, to lift them up, to know the truth about what you say about death and life, to know the power of Jesus and the power of the cross and the power of the blood. And Lord, I thank you. I bless this family. Lord, when they leave and depart this place, let them know. I know they're going to have some rough moments, Lord, but let them know they're never alone, that your Holy Spirit is there to comfort them. And Lord, you're going to restore joy back to them in a little while. In a few days, they're not going to forget about her, but her life going to be filled with joy. They're going to fill their life with joy and peace. Now, thank you, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you for my man of God, Lord, that was able to instruct Gwen these short months. Put fresh life in her. Put fresh hope in her. Thank you for it. Lord, and I praise you now. I give you all the glory for what you helped me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Any visiting ministers, pastors that are here with the family, I want to acknowledge you on behalf of Pastor Thompson. Stand on your feet if you're here. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. You a pastor? Yes, sir. Well, I just want to appreciate, I know the family appreciates you being here. I want to thank you for being part of us in the service. And we're just glad to have you. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. At this time, we ask the funeral director to come forward. Reverend Esther, will you come forward and assist me?